You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG.
Today on the first segment, we're talking about April Fools. We got so many people who were either laughing or very, very mad
crying,
at us.
Crying some.
Also, we out in New England, hanging out in Boston, hanging out with the Midnight Riders, eating chili, doing what you're supposed to do as a cooligan.
That's right. In the second segment, we bring in Mr. Save the Crew, Mr. Steal Your Election, Mr. Running for Every Office in Ohio, the one, the only hilarious comedian friend of ours, Travis Irvine. Travis, you got anything to say?
I love the Cooligans.
Yeah, that and more on this episode of the Cooligans.
Hey, this is Alexi Lawless. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Let's go!
Come on! Whoa, I got dizzy again.
Welcome to the show. Hello, everybody. Woo. Yeah, we're just every week. I feel like I just can't wait to get back in studio.
When things happen in soccer, I'm like, guys, keep it till Monday, okay?
Yo, slow it down.
Yo,
okay,
relax, bro. Maybe on a Tuesday morning. give us a chance.
So, welcome to the show. We are excited to be here. Yes, we were in New England, in Boston.
Yes, right. Beantown.
Beans. Having beans.
We performed underneath or in front of, across the street from Fenway Park, a.k.a. the house Aaron Boone collapsed.
You said it like you really had no idea
where
as
we
far
were.
As,
no,
because as time and space. You're like, where I was in front of, on top of.
The stands creep out over where we were.
We performed under the Green Monster.
Under, where no one else was there, just us and the janitors.
We were doing stand-up, we were hosting events, we were going to Revolution Games.
Yeah, we're just being like, you know, like soccer celebrities.
Soccer celebs.
It was pretty fire, though.
We
hosted an amazing event in Rhode Island.
We did. So
Project Goal, putting kids out playing soccer and giving them tutors,
right,
and stuff.
By force.
Whether they like it or not. just stealing basketballs from basketball team.
You're learning soccer and you're reading books,
and you better like it.
So welcome to the show, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
And I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We are your favorite stand-up comedians.
Yeah.
That host the funniest goddamn soccer podcast that you've ever listened to.
Yeah.
And that's Y-U-H. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not only the funniest soccer podcast that you've ever listened to, it is also what Alexis Guerrero's.
Bruh. It's the gulliest.
Oh, okay then. Okay then, gully man.
Pulled out the shirt.
Changed it in a phone booth.
Somebody find me a phone booth.
Yeah, you know phone booths are mad gully because that's what you do with your needles.
I know, right? You don't use the phone. The phone part of it is just to deter other people from using it yourself.
Okay, you're doing drugs in your own piss and shit.
Yeah, nothing gullier than that. That's, again, over-gullied. You over-gullied, sir.
Yes, man. We did have a good time.
Speaking of over-gullied, we're here from the OG podcast, stage 17.
That's right.
Sprat.
That's right, man. This is, we got a new little backdrop. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're not watching on YouTube, watch it on YouTube.
I know, please, because my nephew thinks we're failed YouTubers.
That's right. We look like failed YouTubers.
Yeah, we're
to children.
He doesn't understand what a podcast is. I'm like, no, it's the audio. And he's like, no, I've seen it. Nobody watches. I'm like, no, we're not YouTubers.
That's not where we put like our most effort into.
He's like, no, ninja. And I'm like, stop talking about ninja right now.
Okay.
He's
look.
A YouTuber. We're podcasters that also put their podcast up on YouTube. And he's like, well, not that many people comment. I'm like, all right, you're 8 years old.
It's interesting because we have to deal with like the, you know how when somebody calls somebody you see on Instagram a comedian and it's like, no, that's not exactly.
They're not comedians.
They're not comedians. They're like, they do.
But they're funny. No, they're not.
So we have to sort of defend ourselves in like the digital space.
Yeah.
We're like, well, no, we're not exactly YouTubers.
No. We're not YouTubers.
So, but we did have a good time out in Boston. We did a bunch of stuff. And
oh my God, dude, the New England area was great to us.
Yes. I mean, I think the event, which was awesome, but really.
The worst part of the whole thing was the game.
I mean, no, it was fine. The game was fine. We got to hang out with Shaka Hislop.
Dude, We got to just ball out with Shaka Hislop and his beautiful daughter. They were great.
Yeah, they were awesome. And we did like this like VIP event where like some of the people that were at the event got there a little early and they got to do basically like a Q&A with us.
Yeah.
And also some guy named Shaka Hislop.
Yeah, some dude who played in the World Cup. Shaka Hislop.
If you don't know, Shaka Hislop, he's on ESPN FC. Yeah. He was the goalkeeper for Trinidad and Tobago when they made it to the World Cup. He played in the Premier League for West Ham.
FC Dallas for a while. FC Newcastle.
He ended his career in FC Dallas, as most soccer players do.
Some FC Dallas fans would say he ended his career in Newcastle. Yeah.
Well, he played for West Ham, Newcastle. What's the other team? He played for another big team.
I think that's it.
No, he played for somebody. It was another team, a pretty big team he played for. But great dude.
Yeah, nephew of Shaka Khan. It's a real thing. Didn't make that up just now.
Definitely that's why you come to this show, to get absolute truth.
Deep-seated facts.
But how great was he, man? He was one of the nicest human beings I've ever met.
He's a sweetheart. Funny. Thought we were funny, so you know I like him.
Yeah.
Also, you know what I noticed about him? Massive hands.
Well, there's a lot of goalkeepers.
But I mean, he put his hand on your shoulder. It looked like it looked like there was just nothing but fingers. Like someone found a finger with 30 knuckles.
He's a big man. He's a big man.
Big man.
Because
big man team.
You know, we just had goalkeepers on last week.
Dude, we're just covered in goalkeepers.
Goalkeepers.
Dog.
I mean, this is like exclusively comedic goalkeeping podcast.
Yeah. None of those exist.
But we were sort of making jokes about how goalkeepers are obviously like kind of insane human beings. Yeah. And he was, it's easy to say this. He's the nicest goalkeeper I've ever met.
He's one of the nicest soccer players we've ever met in our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was so cool. Like we were billed along with him. And obviously it's like, yo, Shaka Hislop. And yo, hey, you could also talk to the Cooligans if you want, but no one's like, oh, you guys are comics. That's cool. Everyone's like, what was it like to play in the World Cup? Everybody. And
that's why I'm realizing this, that when we're around soccer players, usually, and maybe this is why people enjoy hearing us talk to soccer players. Cause usually the questions that people come up with to ask soccer players are pretty derivative. It's like really the same.
It's kind of boring.
Same question. What was it like for this?
Who's the best player you ever played against?
Okay. It's like, who cares?
All right. Same seven.
Messi. That's it. Yeah. The answer to the question is always Messi.
Google that. Google your favorite soccer player and you'll find a handful of interviews where they answer the questions you're probably going to ask.
Exactly.
And they're all the same questions being asked in every interview. So when we're there, it's a little different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We kind of get under their skin a little bit. We treat them like normal people. And he actually treated us like we were as big a build stars as he was.
Yeah, that was pretty flattering, I think. But we have to earn that with a couple burns, a couple jokes.
Oh, yeah, no, we get in there.
We can't just walk in a room and people start respecting us. No.
We take it by force.
They're like, dance for me, clown.
Yeah.
Okay, I respect what you do for these next 30 minutes.
Yeah, no, we earn that by burning the place down.
But it was, and Project Goal, the people who ran the event, the people.
Darius, Opal. Everybody.
I mean, it was
Nelson, Alex. I mean, these guys are great.
Just so fun. Everyone was so welcoming. And we always talk about like the stuff that happens at the grassroots level to help soccer continue to exist.
These are those guys.
These are these people. Yeah. And we couldn't have been happier to be a part of it. It was legitimately so, so fun. And, you know, we've hosted benefits and stuff like that in soccer, like benefit things, related things. And this was by far the most like straight up, like it was like a comedy club audience. I mean, they were there to support soccer. And they weren't there to support us initially because they didn't know who we were.
They did not care that we were there. But
but as the night went on, they were like, yo, you guys were funny. You guys made the event so fun. Like, stuff like that. So that really made us really
and
proud.
And they offered us the event next year right on the spot. That's how much fun they were having, which is kind of cool. So maybe we'll be back out there.
Okay, we'll see. Yeah, Alexis is negotiating right on the podcast, I guess.
Maybe. We'll be right out there.
It's super fun. And so real quick, before we continue, we'll talk about the rest of the trip because it was really awesome. We have to, yesterday, we're recording this on Tuesday, April 2nd. You're listening to this on April 3rd, most likely, but it was April Fool's.
April Fool's. And Christian had an idea. You got this idea early because I remember you asked me for the photo.
I did, yeah. So
I'm not one of these people that's like, oh, it's National Hot Dog Day. We should do something. You know what I mean? I'm not one of those.
Yeah, you would think you would have food on your mind and looking at your calendar and seeing like what food related holiday is coming up so I can celebrate.
What excuse can I give? It's National Donut Day. I gotta have a dozen of them.
Exactly.
But you asked me for this photo a while back, and I remember taking this photo kind of ironically.
Yes.
I remember saying like I saw Roger Bennett on the street.
Yeah, Bennett of Men in Blazers.
And I go, hey, you're Men in Blazers, right? And he goes, yeah. And I go, he goes, yeah. He was in a hurry. He's like, I'm on my way to record now. I was like, cool. I have a soccer podcast that's better than yours. And I said that. He goes, it probably is. And I go, yeah, it is. And he didn't say anything, and neither did I. And he goes, do you want a photo? I was like, actually, I do. And in the photo, you could see me kind of about to laugh. I took a couple real quick because he was in a hurry. And he was actually kind of nice.
Roger, yes. We joke around.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they're perfectly fine people.
Yeah.
We just don't like what they stand for.
Right. We just don't like the show. But they seem like, he seemed like a fine
individual. Very fine people. Anyway.
And I didn't smell any alcohol. And so I took the photo. And then I kind of just sent it to the group chat. And it just stayed there. Is that where you found it?
I found it through going back in the info tab on the info button on the on our chat on like
yeah, just the group chat,
not the group chat, just our text messages on iPhone. Okay. So you can, it goes and keeps all, it stores all the media.
As
the more you go back. So I was like, because you couldn't find, you were never gonna find it.
I was never gonna look for it. Yeah.
so I ended up finding. So this was just, and if you see the photo, this is what, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You are your face is gigantic.
Yeah, I'm a much bigger person.
You're a much bigger man. So yeah. I would have thought some people would have realized that this was a joke, and that is clearly an old photo because you look.
Also, low key, my hair is parted in the other direction.
Oh my goodness! I mean, it's like an M. Night Shyamalan film. All the clues were there.
There's a twist at the end.
Also, the main clue was that we posted this on April 1st.
Nobody got it. Some people congratulated us, which is like ew.
Yeah. So this is what happened. So if you didn't see the tweet, this is basically this is the tweet. Let me just pull it up. So we basically just announced that we were working with Men in Blazers. So we said, quote, we are excited to announce that we are joining forces with Men in Blazers to create some crossover podcasts and video content this year. Can't wait for all the GFOPs to see how gully we can be. Hashtag Cooligans and Blazers.
Which we thought, this is so obvious.
This is so over the top, ridiculous, and silly.
The only thing was if, like, we said we were replacing the Men in Blazers and the show is ours now. That would have been the only thing that would have been, like, even more obnoxiously, obviously false.
Yeah, obviously false, but people, I think our fans would have been like, yeah, that's right. Good for you guys.
Yes. they probably just mushed them in the face. Give me that goddamn blazer.
Come on, you know, get in here. Let me touch your hair.
Yeah, I'm touching that beard, dog.
You can't say nothing.
How Sue's doing? How's your mother-in-law doing? Oh, We gotta talk about that too.
So the reason we're talking about this is because we both had the presumption that everybody would be like, ha ha, hilarious.
A lot of sharing. And also, like, we didn't have any intention of answering anything. We just thought we'll leave it out there. People will realize it's a joke.
Exactly.
We're good. Like when a company puts something out that's real good, they just leave it.
Yeah.
That's what I thought we were getting. We did not. We did not get that at all. We got a little bit of vitriol.
We got congratulations. That was also the funnier part because we were getting so many people that were like, congratulations. What a great move for you guys.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm excited for your son. I was like, yo, are you really our fans though?
Because
Jillian Sakovitz, I had to text.
Yes.
She put congratulations, hand clap, something else.
Yeah.
And I just texted her. I'm like, have you looked at the calendar today? And she wrote back in all caps, LOL. She's like, I can't believe I fell for that. She's like, I remembered our conversation because we talked about them.
Yeah.
She asked me, like, where does that stem from? And I told her, like, how we feel. And she was like, but I just thought maybe something happened in the background. And then she wrote underneath, like, does gully mean gullible?
Yeah. So funny. So we got a lot of those, right?
A lot of people got it. Robin Seguini got it. Like,
yes.
You know, Nicole Hack got it.
So those were great.
Anybody got it.
So those were, and people were making jokes and all that stuff. That was awesome. But it really was.
You got a personal DM.
So there were people who were destroyed that, you know, they're fans of the show. And if you listen to this, this is an interesting thing. And I think this joke was a good way to figure out who listens to the show regularly.
Yeah.
And who, like, is just following us on Twitter to see what our antics are.
Yeah.
Right? Because the people that were just like, hey, congratulations. This is weird, but cool. Like, whatever. The people that were genuinely congratulating us, I'm like, All right, you don't listen to the show.
Yeah, you clearly don't
you
know.
You know, which is fine, but you don't.
That's cool. Yeah.
So, but this, I got a message. And so this is with his approval. He asked, he said, he was like, you got me. It's cool if you call me out on it. So this is Matt Leffler.
But he did post something on Twitter that was very like, okay, not sure how to feel about this.
Exactly, yeah.
He did post that like on Twitter, and then he hit you up in the DMs personally.
Personally, because he was like, man, I just need to talk to you right now.
I got to get this off my chest. Yeah.
And I just want to read a part of the DM that he sent me. He goes, hey, dude, as a fan, I want to support you guys and want the most for your success. I find the Men in Blazers crossover, quote unquote, interesting. I'll leave it at that. You guys actually got me to stop listening to them, and they were a total gateway pod for me. So I read, he wrote a little bit more, but basically that he was just like, I don't understand what is going on with you guys.
Yeah. But I see you've changed. You see? And I want to support who you are. But I mean, to be honest, that is the most endearing thing.
That is the sweetest thing.
And also, that's a real fan.
Yes.
Someone's like, look, I'm gonna try. You know?
So this is, his name is at Northwood Guitar. He's a Sounders guy in Seattle. And felt so bad. I saw this, and I'm like,
what did you respond?
I just say, I was like, hey, Matt, it's an April Fool's joke. And I said, sorry. And then he goes, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. I didn't even realize what day it was. I was trying to be so supportive too.
He's like, oh man, I was trying to be a good person.
But I really hated you guys. So I was like,
wow, I said some really disrespectful stuff in the group chat. By the way, we want people to know we would never do that unless we get paid very well. And we'll let you know why. We will secure the bag of all bags if we do something.
We'll
like
be
that.
Very clear about what sentences are. I mean, look, it's you know what? This was I was actually really sweet, right?
Super sweet.
The fact that it hurt people's feelings made me like, oh wow, they actually really care about what we're doing, and they hope that we maintain like our
scruples.
Don't
sell out,
you know?
Yeah. So, wait, hold on, we got scruples. By the way, my favorite cereal growing up, Scrupulos. So good.
But really, really awesome. And to the people who I don't know if people, I hope you got the joke, right? I don't know. Hopefully, this is not the first time you're hearing about it. But thank you for the support. Thank you for the hate, because they chose that you care.
Yeah.
And thank you for the love.
And my favorite was on Instagram, we put it up as two stories. We put a screen cap of the announcement.
The
next one was the gotcha. And people, you could see them responding to the original one, and then the laughing while crying face, or oh, you got me.
That especially on Instagram, because it was so fast. Yeah. Right. You see the
joke. See it in real time.
Yeah. It was you saw that like the you would see the first message and then the second message of like, oh, you got me. But it was like a trap, you know? It was like a great way to catch people and like, oh, you're not really a part of all this.
Yeah, like Mel D. Cole, who just found out about us when we interviewed him.
Yeah.
He wrote like, yo, congrats. And the next one is smiling measures. He's like, you got me.
So, super fun. That was I'm glad I made it happen, because Alexis wouldn't. The photo is what did it.
The photos would did it.
If it was just the text, people would have been a bit more skeptical, but they see the photo. I'm like, oh, they're actually together.
Yeah. And it's springtime, kind of. Like, I'm wearing the right coat.
Yeah.
It's pretty even.
All right. So, you know, a lot of these brands and all these other people doing April Fool's jokes.
Bro, but who does it better than us?
Who does it better than us?
Huh?
That's really the main point. All right. So before we continue, got to give a shout out to our sponsor for today, SeatGeek. SeatGeek repping the show.
Absolutely. SeatGeek. My favorite thing about SeatGeek, you download the app, it knows where you are, and it tells you the events that are happening around you. So let's say you want to go to one of these ICC games or one of these men's national team games, right? Yeah. They're going to tell you if it's a good deal, not a great deal, or when to buy based on their color coding. They got the green, the yellow, the red. And it's like, yo, right now is hot. Maybe that's it. Maybe you're like, yo, I want the ticket anyway. I'm going to get it, even though it's not a great deal. It's an event you really want to go to. So we're definitely not talking about a men's national team game, right? But yo, it's like they know where you're at.
How about the women's national team games coming up?
Dude, there's a couple qualifiers coming up.
No, not qualifiers.
You know what I mean.
Friendlies to prepare for the World Cup. our homie Allie Krieger is playing into a matchup.
Finally,
so
right? Got that cap again.
Exactly. She needs just two more to get those 100. Go see her in her, get her last two caps to get to 100. Hopefully she's on that World Cup squad. That'd be a dream. That'd be so awesome.
Raise those fruit bowls.
But make sure you download the SeatGeek app and use the promo code Cooligans. It's so easy to use. We've used it for a ton of games that we go to. Download the SeatGeek app. Use the promo code Cooligans. You will get $10 off your first order.
Bro, you're going to get $10 off a ticket. So let's say you want to go to an MLS match, right?
Yeah.
They're the official partner of Major League Soccer.
That's right. Partner. You a partner?
They're the official. Right? Let's say you want to go to an MLS match. You've never been. You never use SeatGeek. You download that app. You put in Cooligans. Not only are you going to get a great deal on an MLS game, which is already pretty inexpensive, very affordable.
Yep.
But, bro, you're getting a tenner. You just took $10 off that. You know what you could do with that? You could buy yourself a third of a hot dog at Yankee Stadium or 17 of them at the Atlanta games at Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, the hot dog currency right now is very off. You know?
Hot dog price is very affected by real estate.
just fluctuates, you know?
It's very important.
So go download that SeatGeek app. Use the promo code Cooligans. $10 off your first order. All right. So let's go to a couple things. So we did... go to the New England Revolution match. And this was...
So we were on Friday in Rhode Island.
Friday in Rhode Island for that event.
Beautiful hotel, right?
Lovely.
By the way, after party, hung out at a rich man's house, a very, very nice mansion.
We like hanging out at rich men's homes.
That's what we do, okay? Garber, call us. So these guys got Bluetooth speakers all over the place. Who else you know in suits host a gala, a fundraiser with mans like Shaka Hislop.
That's right.
And then you go to a rich white dude's house and we take over the Bluetooth. We play a reggaeton and a little bachata.
Yo, run that Bluetooth.
Yo. What you using? What's your password, my guy? We got this Sonos.
So actually Sonos runs over Wi-Fi, not Bluetooth.
Okay, well, we took over that too. So then we went, and the next day we got shows in Boston, right? We got comedy shows. We're performing all through Boston. Shouts to Ryan Donahue and all the folks at Bad Bad Show and the Bill's Bar Comedy. Thank you for everything. But we're like, yo, what should we do during the day, right?
Exactly.
And then we Google some stuff, and boom, New England Revolution playing, and we met.
Literally not. None of this happened. What do we? We don't know how to get to an MLS game. All
I binged it, and it said, no, we reached out to...
we asked Jeeves, and he told us, hey, you should go out to these New England Revolution games.
We called our cousin, Alta Vista. So we met the Midnight Riders, and they invited us out here.
That's right. Matt Zeet. Zeitka or Zeetka? I don't know how to pronounce
Nick Swartzen.
Swartzen. I don't know where
Swartzen?
It sounded like you said Fartson.
Yeah. Well, all right. A couple of nicknames.
Matt is the president of Midnight Riders, which is the supporters group for New England Revolution.
Yeah.
Great dude. We met him in Dallas. And everything sort of worked out. And we were in Rhode Island. It made sense to go to...
Also, it was a chili cook-off. You think I'm going to miss that?
It was a sixth annual chili cook-off. Midnight Riders, which is really cool, right? We got to have probably like 12 different types of chili.
Oh, that's
amazing. Got to vote on which one was our favorite.
Some people give you more than others. One lady did ropa vieja. Matt's mom. Yeah, man, ropa vieja chili.
And it was awesome. Yeah, that was so cool.
It's like she knew I was gonna be there.
What? Yeah, she probably did. He told her.
Yeah.
But we had all the different types.
And she was all like, "Oh my god, you're Cuban." Like, she was all worried. Great job.
They made chili. They have their own beer. The Midnight Riders have their own brand of beer. It's called Supporter Scarf.
Supporter Scarf. It's great beer, too. It's
incredibly welcoming. Always fun, man, when supporters invite us out and we get to hang out and talk shop, talk soccer. And I feel like hanging out with the Midnight Riders, especially, which is a supporters group that's been around since 1995, right? So a lot of history. So a lot of these people were kids when this supporters group started. Yeah. And I was telling Matt, and shout out to Benny.
Benny, great. Dude,
who is the other capo? I don't know what his role in Midnight Riders is exactly, but I was telling him like you guys have been around the club so long, you're sort of like you maintain the history. You're like the New England Revolution historians, and you get to sort of pass that down. And yeah, you look. Were there a lot of people at the game? No, but the people that were there, you know that they're OGs, man, and they're really they're all about the club, and they care so much. So it's like. It's easy to make fun of, you know, the teams that don't have a lot of people in their stadiums. But it's like what they always say is like at comedy shows, right? We like when it's a sparsely attended show, you don't make fun of the people that are there.
You want to keep them.
You want to keep them there. So it's like, yeah, we can mock all day the people that do show up, or the fact that there's not a lot of people there. But
of course we could. Easy to do.
Yeah. So so there's two things. It's like we can obviously. I mean, we're not above making jokes about empty stadiums. We can do.
No, are you kidding me?
As well, but you have to give
low hanging fruits like our favorite fruit.
It's delicious fruit.
It's so easy to get.
But we got to show the respect where it's due, because they not only did they put on a good tailgate and a good event, and yeah, there's not thousands and thousands of people there, but they are you know, they are just these veterans. They're like war vets to some
they
degree.
They do walk around limping and shit beforehand.
They're limping in like tattered clothes. Yeah, I think somebody was like missing chunks of their leg.
Score. Dearest Margaret.
And for a New England Revolution fan, that even makes more sense.
Yeah, it does.
Right? it's totally fitting. But shout out to them, man. It was so fun. We had a great time.
And by the way, we took a photo with some of those guys that the Minutemen that are there.
Yeah.
And it's a thing that puts the gunpowder in the gun. A lot of people are commenting that we caught one of the guys smoking weed.
Oh, sure. Which would have been I wish that was.
I know. First of all, legal in Massachusetts, so don't worry about it. But it was not. It was one of those like little things of gunpowder to put it in the gun. So he was pretending to do that. I told him just act normal. They were all on their cell phones, but those two guys wanted to do something continental, you know, I guess.
Sure.
Revolutionary.
I think you mean colonial.
Colonial was the word I was looking for.
I mean, you're thinking about that breakfast.
It was pretty good. How much for a coffee? $4 and I made it myself. Great.
But yes, but we did attend the game as well. And that was super fun. We got to be on the field. This is for people that are curious about what this all might be like, right? What is it like to attend a New England Revolution game as media, right? So there's a couple things I noticed.
We were the media.
There's not too many people. Yeah. There's not too many people out there trying to cover New England Revolution game.
And also, it's an NFL stadium, so like there's a lot of seats for media.
Yes,
and a lot of seats that weren't necessary.
So instead of making fun, let's not make fun of the
no, because Sam Stage School was there.
Yeah, and let's not make fun of the empty sort of seats in the stadium, but we can make fun of in the media section. This is slim pickings. I mean, we can just really make fun of the fact that they were there were like sort of two levels, because it's an NFL stadium. They're like two levels for media,
right?
And one level had nobody.
It was us.
It was.
And like, they kept bringing out like ice cream and stuff. So you and I would just get up and go get it.
Ice cream for us? Well, that's pretty cool.
Okay, cool.
But then there's like another level.
There's like apple cobbler or something.
And there were more. I mean, there were. I want to say there were. If I had to guess, maybe 15 to 20 people.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what outlets necessarily.
But I will say we've only ever attended media for
big events.
For MLS All-Star and MLS Cup.
Yeah,
we've never seen what a generic MLS game, regular season game, looks like.
Timbers, we were at a regular game and we were in the media section.
Yeah, but that's a very small media section.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that makes sense. It was jammed.
So
yeah, you're right. And I think we did for an Atlanta United game, but we stayed in the photo area.
Yeah, we were in on the field.
Yeah.
So we were on the field. So this one, there was probably how many photographers? Three?
Yeah. If you count us, four. Five.
So the game is not being highly covered because who knows why? I don't know.
A myriad of reasons.
The team's not great.
Yeah.
They did get a win. I mean, because of us.
We were there.
But we did have a fun moment because when the guy from social media brought us onto the field, we had to walk through the tunnel.
Yeah, that's right. He was like, hey, do you guys want to go through the inflatable tunnel?
Yeah, okay.
Why wouldn't we?
A Revolution staff is bringing us to a death trap?
Yeah. Well, we didn't know. We were like, whoa, look at this. We're like stars. And I go, wow, they have a skyline. And as I look up, I realize the one in front of us is coming out. It looked like a movie.
Yeah.
It's in three sections. The section furthest
it's like an inflatable tunnel.
Yeah, it's like the one that, like, if you were a Boca Juniors fan, you'd stab through and spray pepper spray. Right? So, that's a...
Everybody gets it.
Yeah. You guys get that reference. But, like, there's three sections. So we're in the first section. The section furthest away from us at the end, I see start to come down. And in my head was like, oh, well, they know we're in here.
Yeah.
So, because this guy who's official brings us through, this is right after we shot that quick video for their social media,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm sure they're just going to bring down that first one and we'll come out. And then I see the second one fall. Yeah,
the one that we're in.
No, no, no. That was the one in front of us. Oh, okay. Fall. So it was a red one, then a blue one. And I'm like, huh. Well, we're in the next one. And then I was like, I thought to myself, I wonder if we should get out of here. And as I'm having the thought, I see Mike, the media guy, run, yell, it's coming down. And that's when Chris and I are like, well, what the hell?
What is this
I guess
about?
We got to run now too?
Yeah, so.
We caught that. You caught that on video.
I did. I was like, you know, doing some social media stuff. Thought it'd be a fun video.
Real influencer stuff.
Walking through the tunnel, you know, with my Starbucks cup.
Okay. Wearing Uggs.
You know, really making sure all the brands see that they're getting a lot of, you know, engagement.
Right. And I'm like, wow, this Pepsi Zero is amazing.
But yeah, I've never seen anything that's inflatable collapse so fast.
So fast.
It really, really fast.
Even that weird blow up guy in front of like a car dealership takes a little while
to decompress. Yeah. You know? we saw it sort of going down and then that third one, then the second one. And then
we snuck out in between the two.
I honestly thought like anything, like even when you let air out of a floaty or something like that, you know, it takes some time, you know, it doesn't just leave you there drowning.
Yeah. I don't know. It was a kill switch.
Because that must have been what happened. Yeah. It literally went from completely full where you could walk through it comfortably. If we would have been in that tunnel for 3 or 4 more seconds, I mean, we're literally pulling off, like pushing the tunnel up off of us.
Also, the guys who collapsed it, no remorse whatsoever at seeing 3 adult men run out of it. Yo, they could care less. They were like laughing. They were like, oh man, we didn't know anyone was in there. Does no one check? No one walks through?
That's what I love about going to Boston and being in that area. Like New England is so blue collar.
Oh yeah.
That it's just like the whatever you think of or this like New York kind of that hipstery scene, that sensitive, soft, whatever.
That barely exists.
Barely exists.
I mean, it's there, but like they're like in hiding because everyone's like, whatever, chief, walk it off.
There's some tough ass dudes out there, man. But the game was fun. Let's talk about a couple games because that game, I will start there. New England Revolution played against Minnesota United. I know some of the Minnesota United fans were not happy with our attendance because they feel that because we were there, it's why the Revolution one, which is they don't have the best record in the world.
Well, we might be there soon, so we'll pass that luck on to you, maybe.
Exactly. Who knows? We'll see.
Pay attention.
So the Revolution do play against Minnesota United, and they lose 2-1.
2-1.
And we're here. We're on the field watching this game.
We were on the field for the first goal, and the Darwin Quintero penalty happened right behind us.
That's right. I'll say this because while we were at the tailgate, and this is how you know Revolution fans are just, they're here for it. They know we're probably going to lose. They go in thinking, believing that they will probably lose.
But and they had the Minnesota people. They invited the Minnesota to their tailgate. So they were there.
Yeah. Everybody was there. They saw how, pessimistic they were. I'll give credit to Revolution. I thought this is definitely the best game they've played this season. They look
on the heels of some pretty strong comments from Brad Friedel.
Yes, who his players under the bus.
Yeah.
And
hugged a player that clearly didn't want to be hugged in that photo. Did you see it? The guy's hands are like bye.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, Brandon goal. Bye. Yeah. Yeah. So the clearly something's up in the locker room. And we saw Friedel standing there getting frustrated every waking moment. With his team, but I think the person who stood out the most was Carles Gil. He's Spanish.
Yeah, he was. They played him as a defensive midfielder, but like he's kind of like the Michael Bradley position. He starts the attack from back there.
He is amazing.
Yeah, he is really, really good.
He's really, really good.
But this is like the thing about soccer, man. You can make one change, even just an adjustment. You don't have to change a player, and everything else around it clicks.
Yeah, everyone seemed more confident, right?
Yeah.
And you saw that with Agudelo a little bit.
And by the way, Minnesota was playing well.
Minnesota was playing well. They still, like, and I guess being on the pitch is a little, it feels like a little different than just watching the game on TV, because you can you can sort of be like, you know, when you're watching the game, you can be like, why'd you make that pass or whatever. You can sort of criticize mistakes.
But when you're field level,
it looks even worse.
Yeah, you're like, damn.
Yo, dude, I can clearly.
I'm right here. I can see it.
I can see. I have you like literally your angle, your perspective.
What are you doing?
Don't pass it to it.
Yeah. Also, why such a soft pass? You see how far he is.
Yeah, you sort of get a better grasp of the quality of play amongst MLS teams when you're very, very close. Because not only do you see the quality, but you also see like the decision making.
Yeah, and the pace of it.
Because you when you're watching on the field, you can kind of get the perspective and see like the flow of the game.
Things about or little, if they're rushing or they're afraid to have the ball at their feet. You can kind of get a feel for it.
You do, and that's where I felt Minnesota kind of fell apart in that sense, where they were just little mistakes that they were just making that almost seemed for 2019 Minnesota United felt a little uncharacteristic.
Yeah, if this was last year, we'd be like, okay.
Well, they'd be in Minnesota. What are you going to do?
This year, they're playing really well.
Look at the shirt they're wearing.
It's not their fault.
So a lot of pressure on them. But no, Carlos Gil was... this is the first time I got to see him in person.
First time I've seen him too.
Yeah. He's absolutely spectacular. I hope it works out well with the Revolution and hopefully they can, you know, just, I mean, their issues are mostly defensive. Not, you know, they gave up the penalty, which is, what are you going to do? Like that. It was just a weird handball.
It's a weird handball. And it was one of those that only VAR would have ever caught anyway.
Yeah. And, but overall, yeah, I was genuinely excited to watch.
Is he the one that made the pass to Alibaba for that score?
I don't know if he made the pass, but he definitely made the pass to Juan Agudelo. He missed the chance.
Yeah.
But
I just think Juan Agudelo hasn't had that type of service since what's his face left? Wynn.
Okay.
I don't think he's been expecting.
Yeah, that's a good point. He'll kind of has.
Why are you so shocked? I made a good point.
I'm not shocked that you made a good point.
You're like, wow, all right, Alexis.
Are you saying that ever since Lee Wynn left, or not even left, I mean, he wasn't even playing while he was with the team.
Since he mentally left the team.
So he checked out, but that that's a good point because Lee Wynn was such a creator. Yes, and Heal was the one who made the pass to Anibaba. So yeah, he's making. That's what they were missing. So, but the game was fun. I had a good time. Congrats, Revolution! I'm glad. You know, every time we go to a game, it's nice when the home team wins.
It feels a little better.
Like, you know, we're not necessarily supporting either team or whatever, but it feels a little bit better when the home team wins.
Especially because we're hanging out with those fans.
Exactly.
By the way, people were leaving the stadium like a funeral happened anyway, and they had won. So sad.
It was sad. New England Revolution fans have a reason to be sad, right? Their team has been not great, and it permeates everywhere. I'm saying in the media box, amongst the players, the staff, everybody.
The building has that emotion. It's insane.
And like it was good to talk to people because they have the hope that maybe the team will move into Boston and maybe just revitalize them because they're still doing it's still MLS 1.0.
Yeah.
With the Revolution and they've lost the excitement that of a new team or a team that does very well.
Yeah.
And they're playing a big ass stadium and not a lot of people going. So
it doesn't feel fresh. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel fun. You know, even teams that have been around for a long time have, you know, sort of have a new spirit. Like Red Bull, we've talked about how they kind of have a new feeling to them in the last few years, right? Mm-hmm. They're not like stale like they used to be. There's something fun and exciting about the brand itself.
Sure.
Even they haven't changed much. They've adapted. They've sort of created a culture where it's a bit more fun for their fans. New England Revolution is not there yet.
No.
They're still kind of in that MLS 1.0.
Yeah. Hopefully. I mean, everybody needs a new stadium. So speaking of another team that needs a stadium, New York City Football Club.
Here we go.
Let's go. So they played at BMO Field.
Didn't they cancel this game? They postponed it, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Sure. I mean, it was...
team thought so.
The game itself felt like a death in the family.
Yeah.
You know?
Jesus
but
Christ.
But this is that 4-0 to Toronto. Toronto, a team who has not had a good start. You would have thought NYCFC would have kind of picked up...
Pozuelo came in and he was like, yo, I got this.
Alejandro Pozuelo. Arguably, one of the greatest MLS debuts ever.
Top three, I would say. I would say Zlatan's is probably a little better because of the insanity of that game.
Sure.
and to win, and it was a derby. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That would probably take that. But this was
Pozuelo put it on him
with a little bit more. You know, Zlatan is you know he forces it in there.
Yeah. Well, Zlatan's more like me. Pozuelo is more like you.
Pozuelo is like gentle. He charms you first.
Yeah. Pozuelo's like, I'm not sure I can do this. Oh no! Turns out I'm amazing. Oh, look at that, huh?
Such a humble
man. He's like a pool hustler.
Basically.
He's like, no, I cannot play. Okay, double or nothing. Let's see. Oh, I can do this with my eyes closed.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize. Oh, I own your family now.
Oh, wow. Where is this house of mine I now own? Wow. Which car? Tell me. I don't want to hit the button and ruin my pool playing thumb.
Look, and this was really the highlight of the game because Pozuelo was unbelievable.
And he's also unstoppable, apparently.
Clearly, Dome did not do any, research on this guy. They were like, we'll be fine. He's new. Like,
Dome, you want to watch the tape? Nah, he's out. He needs to learn about us.
Pozuelo, he
came from Genk.
Came from Ghent in Belgium?
Genk.
Yeah, and the Ghent is a different team.
Genk. Wait, maybe he did come from Ghent.
I don't know where he came from. You're the one who said it. I'll look at his...
He came from Dank.
He came from Genk.
I was right.
Yes, you were right.
Oh, so why was I surprised?
Yes, he which is in Belgium, right? Am I crazy?
Yes.
Belgian league, yes. So, nobody really knew exactly what to expect.
He was like one of the most creative players in that league. So I think they knew he was of quality.
Yeah.
But how does someone take, it takes a while to learn MLS, right?
But interesting, because he
some people takes half a season for him, 20 minutes.
4 years in playing at Genk, 106 appearances, only 17 goals.
Well, he's already on his way there.
He's already.
Yeah.
He's really.
A third of the way.
to score two, right, first MLS game. Against a team that's not like weak defensively per se, but
well, they were on that day.
They were bad. And actually, Maxi Morales didn't play that game, which had definitely a huge effect on possession.
And also, NYCFC has been the new striker.
That's right. But he hasn't started yet.
So there's clearly some changes coming. I know the fans want to see Dome gone for the most part, right? I think that's like the groundswell.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of that. Yeah. There's. It's frustrating, right, for NYCFC fans. Four games, no wins. Just three draws and one loss. This is it's just a worse start than the first year, I believe.
Yeah.
So this is not great. So
it's not good.
Let's just talk about the.
Did you hear the rumor?
Did I hear the rumor? No, I didn't.
That Pep Guardiola. Somebody says that they have it on good sources that when Pep Guardiola signed the deal with Manchester City, when he's done with Manchester City, he's supposed to go to New York City Football Club to be the manager.
Okay.
That's. In his contract.
It's an option. I don't know if he's going, like...
He's
forced to go.
Yeah.
Like, that's not necessarily his next step.
But it's an option for him.
Okay.
What you thinking?
That would be amazing. It's interesting, because I've been seeing people react to this differently. Like, Pep playing in MLS, coaching in MLS for a year or 2 years would not be good for the league. But it couldn't be any more wrong, right? When Patrick Vieira came, it attracted a little bit more interest into the league, without a doubt.
It does. It validates you a little bit, yeah. It helps.
And of all people, Pep. I mean, Mourinho, people would be like, I get Mourinho going to MLS because he's a clown. And
defensive, and they can't play attacking anyway.
So it would be more reasons to mock. But Pep, who has all the coaching pedigree and has all the respect in the world, he is arguably the greatest manager in the last, 10 years?
Yeah.
I don't know how.
Certainly the winningest.
Sure. Yeah. So,
which I believe... is just called most successful. But.
Well, but people would I think the world soccer would be angry. They would angrily respect his choice. You know what I mean?
Also, they'd be like, well, he won everything else. Why wouldn't he go? And he would be the coaching version of when David Beckham chose to go to MLS.
Which was silly.
No, it is. It would be. It would be the most massive validation of this league and of soccer on this side of the world. Across the board. And him trying to win CONCACAF Champions League.
Oh my God.
Be amazing.
Just Pep in Mexico.
Mexico. Those are the good games. Pep in San Salvador.
Yeah, dude.
Playing Alianza.
That'd be fun.
And he'd be like, this is clearly the field we parked the cars in, right? And you painted it to look like a soccer field. We were playing on this.
Yeah, dude. It was. So that news is whatever. It'd be exciting. Obviously, not gonna hold my breath for that. But let's talk about the two Pozuelo goals. The Panenka.
You ordered two bags of chips.
The Panenka on Sean Johnson for the penalty.
Wild disrespectful.
I mean, I want to call him wild.
Both of them were wild disrespectful. But the first Panenka is the most disrespectful penalty.
Yes, it is. I think the balls on Pozuelo.
If it goes bad, it
this is his
terrible.
First goal in Major League Soccer.
Yeah,
his first ever penalty. First of all, he also gets to take the penalty. It's his first day in school. Yeah, and he's like, hey, you're all right. You're the principal now. Yeah. You know,
I pick my own lunch table. Yeah.
So they gave him a lot of responsibility. Yeah. Clearly, they had some trust in him. And does a Panenka first? I mean, if you miss the Panenka on your first ever penalty in Major League Soccer,
you get roasted.
And you're a DP. You just signed like $4 or $5 million deal. They paid like a $9 million transfer fee. You're Things are not going to be good at halftime for you.
Yeah.
But he scores that, and incredible. But then, really, he really did two Panenkas to some degree.
No, he did.
Yeah.
I thought both were wild disrespectful.
Yeah, the second one was...
He also chipped from, like, outside the 18.
Yeah, I wasn't outside the 18, but it was right inside. It was probably like 16 yards out. He scooped the ball.
Are you sure? I think he did it from outside.
He didn't do it from outside because I saw it.
And I saw it too.
it was inside. So I can look at where the goals came from. Anyway, the second one after he scored the goal, there was like the. What surprised me the most was that he didn't celebrate, right? So this is...
He just walked away like another day at the office.
I almost would have wanted him to really go crazy.
I think it's because it took a deflection.
No, it didn't take a deflection.
Hey, I feel like it did. You're right, by the way. It was inside the 18.
I know.
But I honestly feel like it came a little bit off his leg, and I think that's why he didn't celebrate. I think he knows he got a little lucky there.
No, it didn't hit anybody. It did.
It was the defender, but it was like, I can't remember. I think it was Rain.
As Collins and Ben Sweat was playing like the I think the right post, and Collins was playing the left post, and it didn't. It was just amazing. It was an amazing, amazing goal. Sean Johnson, no one would expect that, and the fact that he did this so courageously in his first ever game, the dude had no nerves whatsoever. It's just like crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, this is like when, remember when Didier Drogba got a hat trick in his first game? People were like, all right, what does that say about the league?
Okay.
What does this say about
the league? Yeah. Where it's like a concern.
Well, it's like, oh, that the league is so easy that someone could come in day one, just pop off.
No,
two chips.
No,
two bags of Doritos.
He's that.
Which is what we're calling it from now on.
He's that good. He's that good. You got to give him the credit because NYCFC, yeah, they were maybe had a rough time, but they really couldn't figure him out at all. So, yeah. What does this mean for NYCFC going forward? What do they do? Is Ebert going to fix everything?
You hope so. I mean, clearly, Dome is going to have a little bit more time because he has to integrate Ebert, and they have to see how that goes.
Yeah.
But he ain't got the longest amount of rope.
Yes.
At least that's not how it feels.
No, not at all. Yeah. People are mad. People are getting upset. And now there was a stat that came out that Dome's record, he's only won 4 games in the last 20 or something like that, or 19 or 20 games. So not great.
No, that's not a good thing.
It feels worse when you hear it in a 20 game span.
Yeah.
Oh, you only want 4 of those?
Wow.
That's not enough for those.
That feels like a number that should be higher. Anyone else agree with me?
And it's kind of strange, but yeah, the last couple matches.
So he got 12 points out of a possible 60?
No, there were a couple draws, but only 4 wins.
Oh, okay.
Not great.
That's not good.
Not great. And you sort of, I think we have that recency bias when we think, oh, NYCFC was in the playoffs, they won, you know, they beat Philadelphia Union and all this, but it's like, nah, man, they were
recency
pretty bad.
Recency
bias is what that's called.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Smart. Huh? That's why you partner up with smart people. To all my dummies out there.
All right. So let's talk about 2 more games and then we'll
we also got to talk about the event I hosted without having to host it.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, you want to talk about that now?
Yeah, the ICC.
That's right.
So there was part of the ICC was Street Soccer FC or Streets FC.
Street FC.
Tom Martino, right? We know him. We love him. Been on the show before. Beautiful beard, right? Great body. I don't know what else you want to hear about him, right? Tom Martino's amazing. But
it's to die for.
Right? Bounce a quarter of it. It'll smack you in the face and chip your tooth, okay? Don't try it. So he's going to love hearing this. So he's hosting an event. So we get reached out to by the folks who run ICC. We get invited to a couple events, right? Yes. Thank you to Soccer Girl Probs for making sure that we knew about it, right?
Yeah.
And so we get invited. We don't get paid to be there, but we get invited. It's kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
I eat up a bunch of... It's where I scared Robert Perez and Diego Forlan.
If you've been following... If you don't follow us on Instagram, you're making a huge mistake. But there's a lot of fun stuff going on. Yeah.
I completely scared both of those.
Yeah, you meet Robert Perez and you act like a complete Newark maniac.
Yeah, baby. I am who I am. And was drinking that day.
I am's what I am.
Yeah, I is what I is. So I met Diego Forlan. I mean, Uruguayan hero.
Yes.
Right? And I tell him, like, oh my God, is it cool if we do a video? And he's like, yeah, of course. As soon as I put the video on, he sees who I really am. He was like, want nothing to. As soon as I turned the camera off, he kept his hands in his pockets. He turned his back to me to speak to nobody. There was nobody behind him.
Yeah.
He just turned.
I just really need to get away from this man.
He's like, I think I can pretend I'm a tree. And there's, oh, we'll leave. And I was just like, okay, I guess I got to walk away. Diego Forlan just iced me, right? So the next day they're hosting this event. Tom Martino is doing an event with the 99 women's World Cup winning team and the 94 World Cup qualifying men's team.
Yes.
Amazing, right?
Yeah.
So we're hanging out. All the media has to go to one section. We're not being allowed up, right? I get there. The elevator's on one side. It's above the new design school, which is the Cedar Park something or other school it used to be called, right? We get there. The security guards, you got to talk to the security guard. Other security guards, you got to go back to that guy. Me and Soccer Girl Probs are trying to get up there. There's a couple other people just kicking with us. All these guys are just showing up, all these media people.
Yeah.
And they're not letting anybody in, right? So I say to the one guy who's like, clearly works for ICC, not a security guard. I was like, hey, I got to get upstairs. I'm late already as it is. I got to get up there. And he was like, who are you here with? And I look over and I see Susan Sarandon.
Sure.
Homie. The Susan Sarandon.
You know, we homies.
What up, Sue? Well, you know what I said? I'll go, hey, Suze. And I tapped her on the elbow. Right. What's up, Suze? Right. Did the old like, hey, of course we're friends.
Yeah.
And then I looked back at the security guard. I was like, come on, can I go up or not? And he was like, very confused, assumed I knew Susan Sarandon and was like, yeah, I guess. It was the other security guy behind him was like, no, we can't let this guy up here just because, you know, Susan Sarandon, he's not on the list. He can't get up. We got to find this other list. Susan Sarandon goes, just let him up with me. Suze, the homie.
Susan Sarandon.
Right? Get on the show, Susan. So I go, come on, right? And the security guard's like, no, we can't. Boom. I turn around. Soccer Girl Problems are like, yo, you know Susan Sarandon? I go, hell no. I go, I can't believe I touched her and called her Suze. Right? I touched her on the elbow. I hope she's cool with it. Right? Though we go upstairs. All the media is on one side of the field. On the other side of the field, it's the VIPs. Right?
Okay.
And guess who one of those is? It's Judah Friedlander. Really, honestly, the really a homie, right?
Comedian Judah Friedlander, who we know very well.
Times. Yeah. We know him very well. Good friend. Could have texted him. I decide I'm walking across the field. They say, don't walk on the field. I say, I make my own rules, okay? I'm homies with Suze, okay? So I walk over. I'm talking to Judah a little bit. All of a sudden, Kyle Martino comes out with a microphone.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, take your seats. Take your places, blah, blah, blah. Now I really can't get across the field because he's there with the camera. So Judah and I just start walking towards where Judah's going, which is, it's me, Judah, Bobby Cannavale, Susan Sarandon, Rose Byrne, Jason Sudeikis. So like a real murderer's row, and me, the third string catcher, right? Just not really supposed to be there at all. But I'm now taking videos of Ethan White. This guy played professionally. He's on the other side, staying there cold.
He can't. You can't get past this velvet rope.
Nah,
dog.
Son. Soccer Girl Problems. Aaron West. Everyone on the other side. Not me. I'm with the VIPs. Okay. So I'm taking videos. I'm taking pictures. I want to get memories of all this. All of a sudden, Comartino hands a microphone to Aaron West. He does a little hosting. Hands it to Melissa Ortiz. She does a little hosting. Grabs a mic from her. Hands it to Judah. Judah don't really want to do it. Low key. He's telling me, I really don't want to do this. I was like, well, say this. Boom. He says it. Get to laugh. I go, say this. Boom. Says it. Get to laugh. I said, say this. Boom. Says he. Gets to laugh. And he goes, here, why don't you just do it?
Yeah.
I grabbed that mic, bruh.
That's it.
I don't let it go.
You didn't pass the baton anymore.
Nah, son. Who am I going to give it to? Somebody worse than me at this? I take over. And by the way, like I said, not getting paid. So what do? I say Cooligans 75 times. Sidecar Problems, if they're listening right now. Aaron West, if you're listening right now. Ethan White, if you're listening right now. They all know I ain't bullshit. No cap. I literally kept saying, guys, don't forget this whole event is sponsored by Cooligans. The funniest soccer podcast in the world. Download Cooligans, C-O-O-L-I-G-A-N-S.
Yeah.
Cooligans. It's myself and Christian Bologna. I literally kept throwing out commercials for Cooligans the whole time. I'm riffing. I'm making jokes. I'm telling people if they nutmeg chill, because at one point the players' kids come into play. I was like, remember, folks, if you nutmeg a child, I'll give you $5. Also, can anyone let me borrow $5? Right?
Good line.
Right? Not bad, right? I'm hip, but dude, it's hidden, right?
Yeah.
Because they don't know humor, right? It's hitting. It's hitting big. And all of a sudden, Susan Sarandon, I look over, she's looking at me, she's laughing, she's having a good time.
Yeah.
The guys who run ICC come over and they go, hey, this wasn't an event until you grabbed the mic. I go, really? The 94 World Cup qualifying team and the 99 winning World Cup winning team.
I mean, host.
It
goes a long way.
Having
a good host.
So at the end, Bobby Cannavale and I talked about being from Jersey and Cuban, right? The whole nine. Susan Sarandon, Bobby, they're all, and Jason. Jason did that quick video for
us. Yeah, if you saw that video from Jason today, because that was awesome.
He's gully, apparently, right?
Quite.
Big fan.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, Susan's like, hey, you were really funny. You were hilarious. Pats me on the chest.
Mm.
I was like, hi, Sus. I'm okay. Married, okay? Calmate, coño.
Well, I think right? She was returning the favor from you touching her elbow.
Yeah. She got a little closer, right? So she goes, where are you performing next? And then Bobby comes in and goes, yeah. We'll go see you. Bobby Cannavale.
Okay.
Boardwalk Empire.
Boardwalk Empire. Great show.
Bobby Cannavale goes, of course, we'll come see you. When are you up at the Cellar?
Oh boy. Pull
the rug right out from underneath old Alexis.
Bobby, Susan, put in a good word with Noam.
Call Esty. Dexter. Let them know. I need two vouchers. You could think of better vouchers than Susan Sarandon and Bobby Cannavale.
That's right. One voucher from Susan Sarandon should be enough.
That's two right there. Her in the elbow I touched. So I said to Bobby, I go, how long are you in town for? And he goes, probably 3 more weeks. I go, all right, well, I had like 9.5 years to that. And then maybe I'll be up at the Cellar. We all giggle and they all go off to eat Missy. I tell them what not to get at Missy, what to eat, blah, blah, blah. And they were like surprised that I knew all that. And I'm like, nah, I'm a food expert. It's me. He starts asking me about Cuban food. It was great. As we're leaving, guy from ICC thanked me. I told you what he said before, blah, blah, blah. Whole nine. He said, hey, we'd love to have you back next time.
Ooh.
And I wanted to be like, let me see the list of VIPs.
Before I make any commitments.
I mean, I need to chill with somebody a little better than Sue's next time. She's great, but we gotta step our game up.
Exactly. Well, cool. Yeah, that was. I didn't go to the event. You did.
I got us covered, though.
You represented. You represented. So that was dope. All right. So
heavy.
All right. Two more games. Then we'll bring our guest Travis Irvine on in
so
the next
funny.
Segment. So great, great.
So funny. So Columbus.
Oh, so Columbus. That's right. I feel like that should be a shirt. So funny. So Columbus. Let's talk about Sporting Kansas City and the Montreal Impact, right?
Because touchdown.
There were a couple just beatdowns this weekend.
Dude, the scores have been wild this year.
Yeah, it feels like
that parity not so existent.
I mean, it just
a lot of 4-0s, 5-1s, 5-2s, 7-1 now.
Yeah, it's just like the inconsistency from week to week is a little odd. That's the thing.
It's that compact schedule this year, man.
Maybe.
So many people jammed in. Whoever gets a little bit more rest, I think, has a real big advantage. Maybe that's something for the old fantasy fans.
Good point. So Sporting Kansas City wins this game 7-1. And really, what stands out more is the Montreal goal. That you're more concerned about that one. Like, what was up with Sinovic? And
damn, how'd you let that go?
And Wiesler. Like, was that our fault?
Yeah.
You know, that one goal? Hat trick from Christian Nemeth, a brace from Johnny Russell, a goal from Gianluca Buzio,
a poacher's goal. Well, not really, not a poacher's goal. He stole it off the foot of a defender who's doing too much.
Exactly.
You're doing too much, bro.
And little baby Gianluca Buzio, little Buzio. We know he's not there. He doesn't want any tricks or any fun little games. All right.
No.
He's there. He has a very serious coach that is trusting a 16-year-old, I think 16 or 17 years old, to
with a gorgeous head of hair
to put him on the pitch. So he sees a center back dribbling across the top of his own box.
It literally looked like a kid who's good at soccer and his uncle who's fucking around a little bit, and the kid just stole it right from his foot. And then he finesses it into the goal.
Yeah.
He kind of curls it around from close range, curls it around the keeper.
Yeah.
Gianluca Busio.
Evan Bush. Wow. Evan Bush had just a terrible day.
Evan Bush just sounds like an old, like alternative rock band. Doesn't it?
I mean,
ladies and gentlemen, opening for Limp Bizkit, Evan Bush.
Well, Bush was a very popular alternative rock
I remember
band.
Those patches.
Sure.
People would wear them on backpacks and stuff. That's how you got into White Girls. Anyway.
What?
That's how I got into White Girls.
Because of the band Bush?
Because of those patches. I thought it meant something else. I didn't know it was a band. Whatever.
I mean, it's not just White Girls that have Bushes.
No, but the patches, yes, overwhelmingly.
If you have a patch that says Bush, you probably have a Bush.
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought. And whatever, you're young, you just want to see something, you know?
Okay, cool. Anyway.
Little insight to the old Guerrero's mind.
Great on Sporting Kansas City because they have a game this week against Monterrey, so this obviously do a lot for their self-esteem.
Same goal score. I mean, scoreline.
Hopefully not reversed.
No.
I think Sporting Kansas City in the form that they're in, and we have heard the Peter Vermes. I was reading that he negotiated with the players' union to basically break the rules of when the players could start training.
Break the contracts. No one's on TAM anymore.
No, but the agreement of the collective bargaining agreement of like when they're supposed to train and when the season's supposed to start and all that stuff. He basically contacted them so he could be like, we need to start training earlier so that they could be ready for these Champions League games. And you sort of see it, right? Sporting Kansas City seems like
mid-season form.
Yeah, it sounds like they look like they started when Liga MX started.
Yeah,
and they're playing the other MLS teams can't really keep up.
No.
So,
but I wonder if they're going to burn out a little quicker because of it. So we'll see once the playoffs come.
We will see. But yeah, they might burn out when they're lifting the Champions League trophy.
Maybe that's it.
Maybe that's the case. So drubbing.
Peter Vermes got to be, now that Greg Berhalter is out, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think Peter Vermes is the best
American coach. Yeah. Let's see. That'll become the
so way. Consistent.
He was up for the job and. With whatever U.S. soccer
is
doing.
Greg Vanney is one, right? Greg Vanney's team is playing better, but they had a really rough last year. Peter Vermes has been so goddamn consistent.
I would trust Peter Vermes over almost any other coach like that I can think of right now.
Really?
In America.
Bob Bradley?
Yes, I would. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, tell Bob.
I mean, Bob had a shot. Bob was good. Boy, he did.
Bob, you've been there before, buddy. Bob. Let somebody else get that shot, my guy.
Last game I wanted to talk about was San Jose against LAFC. The earthquakes, those sponsorless earthquakes, and they're showing it. I think there's something when you don't have a sponsor.
Did you say spineless?
When you don't have a sponsor on your shirt, I don't know.
You can't play to a certain level.
It's difficult to wake up and put the shirt on. It feels a little different.
You got to have one of those pyramid schemes on the front at least.
You don't got a pyramid scheme on your shirt, bro.
Dog, are you even in MLS? With your USL looking ass.
LAFC.
Somebody tweeted, I can't wait to see how San Jose gets roasted on the podcast week. You could just retweet that every week.
Nah,
this man Markin is not looking good, though.
LAFC was just straight up like, I got 5 on it because
Nacho Poe can keep.
They absolutely demolished. It's just like similar to Montreal and how and just defensively when like I don't know what happens after like one or two goals, they just don't have any heart left, man.
Nah.
But this was clearly the case after the
7-1 was mostly second half too. Like it was 2-0 in the first half. This was. Throughout the game, drubbing.
But the first goal, I think something happens when you give up a goal like that first goal where the keeper missed the clearance and Vela was there just to walk it in.
I mean, disrespectfully walk it in too.
He did. He held it on for a
Showed
while.
A little bit. The defender tried to take his legs out too.
That's right. Well, you can't blame him.
No, that's what you do. Don't you dare showboat on me.
The keeper was Daniel Vega, who I don't know.
Who recorded Mambo number 5. I remember that. Yeah. It's good.
Very good. Yeah. He's multi-talented.
Mambo goals number five.
Oh, just goals number five. I don't know. Anyway, so
we had Vela and Rossi.
Golasso number five. So obviously what sort of stands out, the Vela's hat trick, and Vela's just looking absolutely incredible in this game. And even when you saw after the third goal, the energy that Bob Bradley showed when he celebrated the goal, you sort of feel like he had already experienced the losing to LA Galaxy, right? And they were up three, and they ended up up two or whatever. And he never getting too comfortable. Yeah. You always
no lead is safe.
Every the ninth goal, he's taking his shirt off. He's like, yes.
It's the 90th minute. We're up by 10. Go get him. What if they bring on Zlatan? He's got PTSD.
Left on Zlatan. Matias Almeida is up to his tricks again. Yeah. So the hat trick from Vela was unreal. But the
Vela looked so comfortable out there,
just having a good old time.
He was swallowing out there.
That's just a new verb. The third goal to complete the hat trick was phenomenal, and like,
it's his goal. That's his move.
He is our Arjen Robben.
Yeah,
he is. But he doesn't do it at the same pace as I would argue it's almost harder for Vela to do what he does over Arjen Robben, because Arjen Robben goes from the right, cuts into the left with some pretty good speed, and kind of he cracks the ball with so much pace that most keepers can't reach it. They can't get to it. Vela is almost like inherent. He's so aware of where the keeper is standing and where, and most. That shot was definitively, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 yards outside the box. That's like a 22, 23 yard.
Think about how much time the keeper has to watch it.
Exactly.
And you still can't stop
it. He's not running at you. He's not doing it.
I think he took a step back.
I think it was a fadeaway curler, I think.
Yeah. Hey, James Harden with the rock. I mean, it's just so hard to watch. And you know, it felt like it was in the air for 30 seconds. And if you're a San Jose fan, you're like, no.
Yeah.
Come on. Stop. Why? Oh, really? Come on. And then it scores.
Yeah. It's really incredible. There's not many players, and Bob Bradley, I finished watching We Are LAFC, you know, and he was talking about, you know, that thing sort of went viral about him, Bob Bradley, talking to Carlos Vela and telling him, like, you know, why can't you be the next Messi? And, you know, maybe that sounds crazy and all this other stuff, but why can't Carlos Vela be the next Messi of MLS? Like, he plays.
First of all, the only one stopping him is him, clearly. Yeah, because the keepers ain't doing it.
Yeah, he's too focused. If he stopped focusing on basketball, he would be the next Messi.
Bro, you'd be bigger than the NBA if you could fucking do this.
Yeah, because he plays, I would argue, with the same or a similar grace that Leo Messi does.
Especially against competition like MLS.
Yes.
So he has the ability to undoubtedly be the best player in this league. He also, I think, has the ability to bring non-soccer fans into this league.
Sure.
Because of how good he plays. He's a good-looking dude. He's young. He seems like a superstar. He has that superstar appeal to him. He could change everything. Sure. In a way where Zlatan has to be heavy-handed with it, him just smiling in the background does it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yo, Vela, Carlito. You're mad cute. Be cute.
I know, dog. Be cute, dog.
Just keep being cute. Scoring goals.
Yeah, dude. With your baby face. How about the announcers calling him Carlitos, Carlitos, Carlitos?
Yeah.
What's with the S at the end?
That's what they call him.
It's Carlito.
you say like you're from the Bronx. It's Carlito's way.
It's Carlito. Carlito. Oh, you can say Carlito if you want, but there's no S at the end.
It's plural. He's so many Carloses.
he's so many small Carloses.
But yeah, he's been incredible. And yeah, I mentioned this like 2-3 weeks ago, but like he seems like he's going to be the MVP.
I don't know if this was it might have been an April Fool's thing, but I saw that Gio De Santos is training with them. Was that an April Fool's thing?
Must have been, yeah. That's not real.
But the contract was bought out, so he's not playing right now.
No, he's not playing.
Yeah.
Can he train with them still?
He might be able to.
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea of that. But I mean, I feel like even that would upset LA Galaxy fans.
Well, I mean, of course. Everything upsets LA Galaxy fans. We love you, LA Galaxy fans.
So we'll talk about Columbus and Atlanta with Travis so we can get some
Some insight.
Insight on what's going on.
Some insider trade. I mean insight.
with those crew. So we'll be right back after this.
Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to bring in from one of our sponsors, us and you.
Yes, you. Thank you so much. We've had so many Gully Squad members be so just awesome the last couple of weeks.
Dopest.
So funny. The super secret Facebook group that may or may not exist.
We don't know if it exists or not.
Has been incredibly fun. Who knows if it's fun or not?
I mean, who knows? Maybe. Allegedly, it's been
allegedly
fun.
Allegedly, it's been very, very fun.
It's been a blast.
Really cool. So, a lot of people received those welcome Gully Squad packs that we...
That's right, Gully AF. Now, you're Gully AF as well.
So thank you. Honestly, this is just a thank you for supporting the show. It means the world, and we're able to do a lot more stuff. So we are planning to give you guys more exclusive content because I feel like the Gully Squad members absolutely deserve it.
Yeah, they absolutely do.
You know,
so
initially,
we already got some good ideas.
Yeah, initially it was like, hey, you guys will be supporting the show, helping us make a second episode. You know, the Gully Squad members were there to support us and basically subsidize for the people who, you know, maybe couldn't afford it or didn't want to pay or whatever.
Which is fine.
Which is totally fine. We love you too.
Yeah, we love you even if you ain't got it. It's cool just for supporting us.
Exactly. But now the Gully Squad members are coming out in such full force that we have to give them some love and we're going to have to give them exclusive content. So we have a couple things coming up, and one of them, we just did a live show called Sunday Afternoon Live with John Hudson and Neil Sharma.
Okay,
Neil Sharma. They
over at Caveat.
Yeah, they do the show in New York. It's a soccer comedy show. Super, super fun.
Super creative.
Yeah, so
they have
awesome.
Their own Ultras, which are super funny.
Yeah, it's a great show. And go see this show if you're ever in New York. They do the show monthly. But we were on it. We filmed it. It was super fun. We did a Jermaine Jones PowerPoint presentation about his life.
We explained how we're involved in his story.
And it was super, super fun. And we're going to be giving that to our Gully Squad members. So if you want to be a part of that and you want to see that, you got to join. Go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad. And you can pick. You can join at any level, whatever you're sort of comfortable giving and supporting with. So go to do that right now. Go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad. And if you join before, before the end of the month, we'll send out another, welcome pack for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad. Join now.
Yeah, baby, we're back.
Yo, okay, this is dope. I'm happy to have
another friend gets to come on the pod.
I'm happy to have him back because
last
time he was on the show, he called in from Columbus, Ohio.
Right,
but now he's right in our face.
He was in DEFCON, CENTCOM. You were in Central Command.
I was in CENTCOM. CENTCOM. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
They let me in. Somehow.
The voice you're hearing is you've heard him on the podcast before. Comedian friend of ours, massive Columbus Crew fan. Somehow all mixed together, our worlds have collided.
That's right.
And we get to have him on this show. We absolutely love him when he's around. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, Travis Irvine, everybody.
Yeah. Travis. Yeah. Hello.
He was waiting for the applause.
There it is.
I love that you are here because now people who are watching on YouTube can actually see you.
Right.
And see how much of a...
How scary you look now.
How much of a cartoon character you look
you.
Like. Your hair is all over the place.
Thank you very much.
I mean, I'm not saying anything you don't already know.
I want to give you a compliment. I don't think I've ever told you this before. I remember the first time I ever saw you perform. I was just like, if that's comedy, I'll never be able to do that because you take it from a place where it's like, it all makes sense in the end, but you're not, it's like catching Usual Suspects halfway through, you know, like,
wait,
why is everyone upset about this one thing? And then at the end, you're like, it's like,
he was Kaiser Soze.
Yeah. But like, you're so like irreverent in the funniest way possible that it's like hard for me. I can't put my arms around how you think of those things, you know? So like,
you.
The fact that you're a soccer fan, I'm like, man, we have something in common with this. Yeah,
that's why it's so exciting the way you guys have blown up with this. I mean, the Cooligans, it's like,
thank you.
Christian and I mean, we know each other from the open mics way back in the day.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's just nice when the worlds collide. It's like, oh, you're a soccer fan? I'm a soccer fan.
Yeah.
Remember, you used to come to my open mic at Freddy's Bar in Park Slope.
Absolutely. One of the best. Christian really cleaned that one up, by the way.
Yeah.
Whoever was running it before, we won't mention their names because I actually don't remember.
Yeah. I think I do remember who it was.
wasn't. Yeah. It was George Gordon.
Yeah. Oh, disaster of a person.
George Gordon.
I actually saw him last night at the signs, the Jason Signs benefit that we did here.
That's
in New
right.
York City.
We put the GoFundMe in our stories and in our profile
so
as well.
So much fun. See everybody again.
Yeah, I mean, just catch up.
Yeah, George Gordon I haven't seen in years.
Mm-hmm.
We're all still young. We still got it.
Yeah.
Most of us.
We're
hanging on. Barely.
Some of us are really,
really
trying.
Clinching to
it. Yeah.
Travis is a stand-up comic. We've known him for years.
Born and raised in Columbus, baby. 1996, April. I was there at the very first Columbus Crew game in Ohio Stadium.
Yeah, and this is what's fascinating. Is like, even in comedy, I don't know how I would have found out that he was a Columbus Crew fan. Like,
we were never put in a position to be able to talk about it.
We wouldn't be out of the closet about our MLS fandom.
Yeah, you know, talk about soccer at comedy shows.
No, like, because then you become the butt of these corniest low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, and then you got to explain soccer to all your comedy friends.
Yes.
They're like, well, why is there 85 minutes left now? And it's like, the clock... counts up. I don't know.
Why wasn't it too long?
Yeah. Why didn't that goal count? I'm like, it's offsides.
I'm not
just
explaining offsides to anybody.
I can't do this.
Play FIFA twice. You'll know offsides.
Then you'll understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So that's like the cool thing. Once we sort of discovered, I think we discovered it basically when NYCFC started. And
did we see you at a game?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
No,
it was before
that.
We
did see you at a game, but before that we knew you were a part of the whole Columbus Save the Crew thing.
Yeah, I think I found out because I think you told me.
I used to write about it and tweet about it a lot.
I think
too,
you tweeted like about it once and I retweeted it from the Cooligans account, and Christian texted me like, wait a minute.
Who is this? What is this about?
A Columbus Crew fan hacked into Travis Irvine's account.
That's what happened.
Because you were like, for a while you were working for Jake the Snake. Right?
Jake the Snake. I don't know who that is.
Jake, weren't you you were working for some wrestler?
Oh no, I was not.
Were you confusing him?
Who's the guy who does like all the conspiracy theory stuff?
Oh, Alex Jones?
No, weren't you working for someone?
Roger Stone?
No.
I did James O'Keefe.
I don't know who that is.
I'm naming every conservative.
Who's the guy who was like, look out, people, you got to go to Mexico? We're like that guy.
Alex Jones, I thought.
No, you're thinking of, it starts with a V. What's his name?
The guy who was the mayor.
Jesse Ventura.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Did you work with him?
I sure did, yes.
Oh, okay, all right.
Now you're understanding my point earlier.
I'm just like, Jake the Snake?
I don't know wrestlers.
Is it mafia? Is that a mafia guy?
I don't know wrestling, so
you know,
I'm sorry. You worked for Jesse Ventura.
I did work for Jesse Ventura.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, for a long time. Now I know who you mean.
What did you do with Jesse Ventura?
I used to write for him. I used to just write
his
columns.
Speeches?
No, just write columns for his, he had a show on Aura.tv. Now I think he's on RT or something. He's back on TV.
Yeah, remember,
he had that TV show Conspiracy Theory for a long time.
Yes,
it was a lot of fun. I wish I worked for that one, but I just kind of wrote columns about, like a millennial perspective to politics, basically.
Yeah.
Millennial independent perspective. So,
yeah. And you were also involved in politics. You've run for gubernatorial races.
Yes.
You've run for several. You were a mayor?
I ran for mayor of my hometown.
Okay.
You can check out that documentary, American Mayor, on Amazon Prime. And then I ran for Congress in 2010 with the Libertarians. Got 3% of the vote. Hubba hubba.
That's a
good Libertarian number.
That's
right,
not bad.
And then last year, I was the gubernatorial candidate for the Libertarians in Ohio.
Okay.
And, and this is about how many votes I got. So we did not do well. It was crazy. It was like, the first midterm election after Trump. So no one was voting for third parties.
Yeah.
It was like the worst midterm since 1982 for third parties. Because it's like, in 1982, you either loved Ronald Reagan or you were terrified of him. And it's kind of the same thing now with Donald Trump.
Okay.
So I did not win. I lost by like 2 million votes. I keep calling for a recount. They're like, please. Stop calling here.
Yeah.
So what is it? What got you into doing that? Because obviously you were
you
doing
only
this.
Like fringe shit. You like soccer back in the day. Libertarian now.
You need to be running for the U.S. soccer president. That's
right. Well, that's why I liked whoever. I think it was Kyle Martino or
yeah,
somebody.
Yeah, Kyle Martino.
And Save the Crew was a big part of his platform. And when I ran for governor, Save the Crew was a big part of my platform.
Okay.
Because our stadium, which of course is the first soccer specific stadium in the United States.
Yeah.
And already in 20 years, it is not aged well. Everyone's got these new nice ones, And Yankee Stadium is pretty nice for soccer.
Yeah. I mean, it's a baseball stadium.
Okay. Oh, it's still baseball. Okay.
Yeah, we're trying. Great. You went to Citi Field. That's where we saw you.
Yes,
that was the playoff. Right.
That
game.
That was a very fun one. Yeah, yeah. They did Citi Field, and they've done Yankee. I used to go out to the Meadowlands when not the Red Bulls. It was
Metro Stars.
Then there's still the Metro Stars. Yeah. I used to go out to that. That was an adventure. You're just like, how many bodies are built in this stadium right now?
Somebody told me once that they used to get like 18. I'm like, God, it felt like seven people, not thousands.
Oh, okay. I'm like,
yeah. Seven total. Yeah.
Yeah. It felt like nobody was there because it's this massive 60,000 seater.
Yeah.
And they didn't tarp. They were like, we're not spending the money on the tarps.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And when the Crew first started playing, they were at Ohio Stadium at OSU. And it was like, you know, it's meant for like 100,000 people. We get like 25, which is still pretty good. But yeah, they had those massive MLS tarps that they had put up to show. It's not.
Yeah, yeah. Just to cover, be like, no, it's buttressing.
Yeah, yeah. You're not allowed to sit there, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
We could've. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if people are sort of confused at to all these different sort of, I think, roles that Travis might be involved in, you are very much a stand-up comedian and are very funny. And that's your sort of main focus. But you do take on these challenges of running for office. And I've never really asked you this question ever. I'm just like, really, why do you do this, Travis? Yeah.
Well, when I ran for mayor of my hometown, it was like a legitimate issue. I was trying to save, my neighbor's homes. So that's, again, you can see this in the documentary American Mayor on Amazon Prime. It was just, you know, it's like standing up for your community type deal. And by running, as you will see in the documentary, you can make a difference just by running. So, you know, and I've always been sympathetic to third parties. You know, I know I don't want to get too crazy political, but it's like, even when I was a kid, I was like, there was Ross Perot, I remember, in the 1992 presidential election. I was like, a third guy, and he's fun, and he's got big ears? That's really cool. So I was immediately like, I'm just very sympathetic to having more options on the ballot. So that's why I like the Libertarians. I like the Independents. I'll vote Green now and then if I'm feeling frisky.
Yeah. he gets real wild with it.
So, you know, basically running for governor last year, I was asked to do it by the Libertarian Party of Ohio because I had to get 3% to maintain our ballot access. I didn't. I got 2%. Either way, there's some legal ambiguity, so we may still have ballot access. But that's what I was fighting for. And it was fun, again, to be literally the biggest Save the Crew candidate. You know, I was at all the games. I was giving out Irvine for Governor literature. And then the Republican, Mike DeWine, started talking about Save the Crew because he was the Attorney General, and he filed a lawsuit against MLS to kind of give us more time to save the team.
Yeah.
So it really ended up being kind of a fun thing where it's like, maybe I did, you know, maybe someone in his campaign was like, hey, this kid's taking the Save the Crew vote.
Yeah,
you weren't in Columbus at the time, but we did a show in Columbus at the...
I was in Columbus, and I had another show that night that sucked. I came and did your show.
Yeah, so we were talking like last minute. We're like, wait a minute. We have a friend who's a comedian, lives in Columbus, and he's doing Save the Crew stuff. We did a whole Save the Crew thing.
I know.
So we like to joke around and say we saved the crew.
You did?
You legitimately might have.
I might have. We all did. That's what's so beautiful about it. Because I remember last time I was on the show and I was calling in, the news had just dropped. That was October 2017.
Yeah, that the team might leave.
The fact that we are, you know, a year and a half later and it all worked out is like still so crazy.
It's still insane. Yeah. The funny thing is like, I remember we would watch like the news, like the courthouse feed in Austin and in Columbus. Yeah. And we're watching like people are like, there's too much parking spots on. And we had to sit through all that to get to like this other thing.
Local democracy.
Yeah. And we're like bored out of our minds watching this. Like during the day, like we're comedians, we don't do anything. So we're like eating popcorn, watching this. And I remember thinking like, none of this is going to work. It's all pointless. I'm one of those. I'm like defeated before it starts. I'm like, guys, we just got to do it illegally. You know what I mean? Start breaking car windows. That's my first thought.
Riots.
Couple of bomb threats. Next thing you know, you get your way. Right. I'm from Newark. I'm not from Columbus. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then when we were watching the live feed of the parties, when it happened, when the Haslam news came out.
Yeah.
And like, we thought back to like all the people we met and all the guys that were in the Save the Crew and all the women and all the lawyers and all the like people that were like in the, and you, and I was just like, oh, I'm so happy for these people.
Yeah. And it really is like, I've written about it since. It's like, it is a nice blueprint for actual like activism in a community.
Totally.
Like you can, you know, the way they essentially formed the core group, held a rally, caught people's attention, started making the signs and the stickers and the tweets and the website, and just started spreading out the word. And, you know, every step of the way, you know, when Anthony Precourt was basically saying, I can't keep the team here because of this. And it's like, okay, well, you know, here's 400 businesses that would love to sponsor anything at the stadium. And then, oh, we don't have enough season ticket holders. Well, here's we're got to sign up. We have 10,000, 12,000 people now signed up to buy season tickets. It's a pledge. As soon as the team is sold to local ownership, I will buy season tickets. So, you know, they just countered every single argument along the way, and they got it done. And you can't get it done by, you know, without some millionaires in there. And that was the beautiful thing about that was Dr. Pete Edwards, who's been the team doctor since day one. He was at that first game. I was at that first game. And it's his family, the Edwards family, that convinced the Haslams to bring in their money as well. And now they are like basically co-owners of the team.
Oh, that's beautiful. I didn't know that that was the team.
Edwards, and he's a great, he's very active on Twitter now. He's very, he's like a fun owner. Yeah. He literally, like at the rainy game on Saturday, he was like picking up fans in his car and like driving them up to the stadium and then driving.
Yeah.
You know, so they didn't have to walk in the rain.
That's pretty dope.
I've seen interviews with him, and I didn't like, I think when we went to Columbus to do the show, I think it was all, We were thinking like, what jokes can we do about this? Because it's like, it's easy to make the joke about you going to Austin and all this stuff. And we made the jokes here and there.
The fans were not having it.
Oh, no. come on.
But they were enjoying it.
You know what? But the fact that they were kind of, nobody was mad at us, but it was like,
they were very resolute.
It was like, I respected the fact. I left Columbus thinking like, I went to Columbus thinking, oh, man, let's try to cheer these guys up because they're going to have a rough couple months.
Yeah.
And then I left Columbus thinking like,
it's not
this seems a little, I think that something could happen here. People were so stubbornly saying that this team is not going anywhere.
For us, it was like, remember Godfather when Michael sees the Cuban dude pull in the soldier and blow his grenade up.
Oh, right.
Commit suicide in the car. They're actually going to have a chance. They have a chance to win. Like, now that I'm here, I'm seeing it. Like, we were all laughing about it before.
Right.
This is serious. That's kind of like what happened to us. We weren't laughing about it, but when we were there, we were like, they're way more sure that they're going to win than they are worried they're going to lose. And that gave us confidence to talk about it even more on the show, which we had been covering it a lot. And we were getting a lot of messages. People were saying, like, no one's covering it the way you're covering it. And we're like, we're comedians.
Right.
We shouldn't be the ones covering it this way.
But that's the nice thing. There's that crossover between comedy and journalism. You know, we're all after the truth.
Yeah.
Right. So you guys played a big part. Everyone did. You know, every media, Alejandro Moreno.
Moreno was big.
Kyle Martino, Brian McBride, anyone who has been through Columbus. Again, once you go there, once you see the stadium and realize what it means to U.S. soccer, you know, U.S. soccer's success was vital. The road went through Columbus, you know, first team in MLS, first soccer specific stadium, home of Dos Aceros for, you know, for years and
years. The home of U.S. soccer versus Mexico.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think what a big part of this whole movement and the reason it succeeded was everyone around the world, around the country realizing, oh, the team needs to stay there.
Yeah.
And so it all worked out.
All right. And so you were at the game this weekend.
So much fun.
Against Atlanta United. Columbus.
I haven't dried my hair since.
It shows, buddy. Yeah,
yeah. Look at us on YouTube, folks.
Yeah.
But Columbus wins this game 2-0. Columbus had a pretty good start. A new coach.
What are you thinking about Caleb?
I'm digging Caleb. You know, he used to
Ohio guy. Akron.
Yeah, University of Akron. He turned
the Zips, right?
Yeah, took him to the national stage multiple times.
What is that a nickname for?
Zippers. I imagine Zippers. I don't know.
You're making that up.
I'm making that up. Akron's known for rubber tires, so your guess.
Ohio is such a wild place, man.
We really are.
If you're like, what was this town? Well, it was created when we decided to make all the steel for the country. It's like, okay.
Yeah, all of it. All the rubber tires in the world.
Yeah, it's like Ohio's like such an odd place. It was like factories, and that's it.
I feel like this game, it was a weird one to try to figure out any tactical coaching, anything, because this game was insane. There was so much rain.
It was basically played in a puddle.
It was postponed
for water polo.
Was postponed for an hour. Right. And people were like, this game probably shouldn't have even been played.
There was some controversy at the end in terms of, like, should the game have just been called? Or, yeah. And I guess there's an MLS rule that if you get to the 70th minute and it's deemed that the game is unplayable, you can call it final at the 70th yeah. minute.
Okay.
There's a whole bunch of rules that I don't fully understand. I just had a great time sitting in the rain watching the crew win. So that all worked out. I guess towards the end, I was worried people would start getting hurt. I think there's some real slippery yeah. tackles and things like that. But it's like, I don't know, man. I mean, when I was a kid, we used to play.
That's like, it feels like, for, at least for the first half, it's fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah,
they,
yeah.
They're enjoying it for the first half. Then after that, they're like, I really can't do my job, you know?
Right, right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This, in general, how are you feeling about the crew this year? I mean, this is Jazzy's second season, yeah. right? With them yeah. losing Ola Kamara. Sure. Losing
one. Merrim coming and coming back.
Yeah.
Right. That was all last season, though. We,
exactly.
we dealt with all that last season. I think the exciting thing is that it's a new era for us, new ownership, new coach, new business metrics. Tim Bojanko from Toronto, who's also an Ohio guy from Westerville.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, you know, we have this team back, but what's nice is that in terms of our players, it's the same guys, you know,
yeah.
The same guys we've had for the last few years. Valenzuela. Is a guy who's out. We just got word today that Harrison Awful
broke his jaw.
So he'll be out for 4 to 6 weeks now. So, you know, our flanks are going to need some backups probably.
Yeah.
But beyond that, it's great. I think the team's still solid. We're still in the top of, not, you know, tip top of East, but we're in contentious. It's like DC, Toronto, us, and Red Bulls.
Columbus always finds a way to be consistent. And even without,
they're always really, really good.
Yeah. Even without, right. like I thought that the transition from Berhalter to Porter would be a little bit more uncomfortable.
Sure.
But it really hasn't looked that way yeah. at all.
I think Porter's just trying to embrace the system, add pieces when he can, but just make sure it keeps working.
Zach Steffen already signed, leaving this summer.
Man, I'm nervous about that.
Yeah, that's going to be
a scary. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, we can.
Because
no, we can't.
He had so many good saves in that, like literally one paw. Right, and just stopping the ball. The guy is amazing. Like, I'm excited for where his career is going to go, but I'm also like, oh, no, what do we do now? Because the one game, you know, we had Joe Bendick, our backup in, was Philly, and we lost 3-0.
Yeah,
and, it was just
and he did a lot of that in Orlando.
Really?
Bendick was from Orlando.
Oh,
yeah.
Bendick like Beckham.
Yeah.
That's his new
Pretty
movie,
much.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's like the – so now that there's that stability back, but now it's not only – that you're keeping the team, but you're getting a new stadium as well.
Right.
And wait, so I don't know Columbus well. What?
There's apparently an area where there's just stadiums.
Yeah. Well, essentially, I mean, Columbus only has, like, you know, we have OSU, which is the biggest stadium, the Horseshoe. And then we have the Arena District, which.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's where the hockey team plays.
That's where the hockey team
plays.
It's
like, what, it's a third division or something like that?
No, they are.
No,
NHL.
The Blue Jackets.
Yeah, Blue Jackets. They're,
okay.
They're a real team.
Look how much he knows about soccer.
Sorry.
About hockey and hockey. Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yeah.
I don't know hockey. I don't know wrestling. I'm trying to bond with our guests.
My old boss. Jake the Snake, God rest his soul. I assume he's dead.
Yeah, they all are.
Yeah, but no. In fact, there will be. I'm not sure if it's going to get done. It will get done, or it might be done right now. There's a great documentary called Save the Crew, and they outline how this all started because Lamar Hunt, who was the original owner of the Columbus Crew, wanted to build a stadium downtown, and there was a big old rich people fight basically that went to court between this family called the McConnells and then the Hunts, and then. And that's why Lamar Hunt settled on the Ohio State Fairgrounds, which is, you know, not ideal to build a stadium there, but it was the only option he had. So, you know, when this whole Save the Crew fight started, again, another thing that Anthony Precourt was trying to do is build a stadium downtown. Of course, MLS now is like, if you don't have a stadium downtown, you don't get a team unless it's in Yankee Stadium, and then you're fine.
Which is cool.
Which is cool. That's fun. Yeah. We like the mounds. It's great.
I don't mind half a soccer field.
Right. I always love watching NYCFC games on TV because it is just like the camera's like at home plate.
It's
like, what a great angle. I don't
it looks like,
it.
Like somebody, like you're when you put a weird angle in FIFA. You know what I mean? When you just
somebody
pick,
messes
when
your
you're
angle.
Like, how do you play in this weird camera angle? But it's like there's some professional player that knows how to play in that stuff. But it looks bad, especially on TV.
Well, and you know, with our stadium, again, it's like, for example, this rain, you know,
There's no covers.
There's no covers.
Bit of an erector set. Yeah, in your stadium. Yeah,
yeah. That's what they actually.
It's like a high school like aluminum stands.
Yeah,
but like on steroids.
Yeah. And you know that was the best way they could, because Lamar Hunt paid for it himself. There was no tax money that went into it or anything like that. So now with the new stadium that they're, you know, this is the Haslams. They're coming in.
And they pull weight.
Even in
Columbus?
Yes, even in Columbus. Absolutely. Even more so now, I think.
Yeah, they're heroes.
They're heroes. Yeah. I mean, and now.
Is there not a rivalry with Cleveland, though?
No, because we don't have any teams to play each other. You know, the Cincinnati rivalry is going to be awesome now, obviously. The hell is real.
Yeah.
Derby.
We saw the sign. Yeah, we drove from Cincinnati, Columbus. Yeah, no. Not the way yours has been open.
Okay, good. I'm just saying, hell is totally real. It's in the middle of Ohio. Cleveland, they came in. So the Browns and the Crew, now there's a nice bond there, which is exciting. I mean, I guess Odell Beckham, now he's coming to he's coming to the Browns, and he's also a huge soccer fan. So maybe he'll start popping up at our games. You know, there's so many possibilities. And again, the soccer stadium to be built in that kind of arena district, it is very exciting. It's going to be state of the art. You know, this is going to be like top notch.
Yeah. What do you think it's going to mean for sort of the state of the Columbus Crew? Obviously a new stadium is going to attract a lot more attention, but what, especially as a person, you were at the first game, right? What does it mean to you to keep the team and then have
it's
like,
it's just going to be another pillar of stability. It's going to mean like they're never going anywhere now, you know, unless Don Garber makes up a new rule. You need to have a stadium on the top floor of a
penthouse stadium.
Only penthouse stadiums. And they're like, okay.
Yankees are like, well, technically
we're
Yankee Stadium counts. I have a question for you. The logo. Sure. I didn't realize it was a point of contention that Precor rebranded the team to Columbus Crew SC.
Right, a little bit, yeah. And then I remember he always hated our logo. It was like just three construction workers.
It was
workers
terrible.
With hard hats.
No?
Yeah, it was very vague. No, it is. A lot of people always hated the logo.
But like some of the fans want that back, or they don't want this round one.
I don't. That's fun because I don't care. I'm just happy we have a soccer team.
But if you could make a choice, would you keep the one they have now, or would you go back to the OG one with the three, the cartoonish one?
Really put on the spot here.
That's what we do.
I just want orange barrels. I just want a line of orange barrels. That's what I want our logo to be. And the color should be orange now. There, I'm changing everything.
Everything's changed.
Alexis is very, the presentation, the pageantry.
Yeah, yeah. The marketing is just important.
I was at the big branding, rebranding reveal party. Yeah, I was there. I got
Audi,
the scarf.
Right?
Yeah.
That was cool.
I thought it was all fine.
Better than Barbasol.
And I must say, it wasn't Precor. It was Precor who drove that, but it was locals who designed it. Local graphic designers.
Yeah.
You know, so
Columbus is a very hip city.
Yeah.
That's got it. I remember a lot of events companies are based out of there. A lot of marketing companies are based out of there.
Absolutely.
They have a very creative sort of groundswell there.
Yeah.
And so it's a great place to sort of draw some of that interest from.
And it's blowing up, especially in terms of like, again, because I just ran for governor of Ohio. You have so many places that our population is leaving. I mean, I think in the next census we'll lose another congressional seat, but Columbus keeps defying all of these metrics. Columbus keeps growing. Wages keep going up, more and more businesses. The economy's still good. They're investing in the city. We have all these, the teams are staying now. So it's just like, it's a special little place. It's kind of like a hidden gem, you know, in the Midwest that a lot of people don't know about.
All right.
But next time you guys come, I'll show you around.
Yeah.
We didn't really get to see much of Columbus. We were just in not Liberty. Liberty is in Cincinnati. What's the part
the Easton. Where the funny bone is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which is like, I didn't realize so many of these existed in the Midwest. They're like these like fake little cities that are half malls, half cities. They're like malls designed to look like a downtown.
Like a city. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to work at the Pottery Barn there at Easton.
Nice. In
the stock room. Nice. Karen carpets and whatever else.
They don't put you out front.
Oh no.
Sorry, Travis.
You're scaring the customers.
Yeah.
Please stay in the back and scare away the homeless people.
You sniffed more than one of the customers. So we're going to ask you to go to the back.
All right.
Do you know Frankie Hayduk?
Yeah, of course.
You met him?
Oh my God. He's at every game.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wears the glasses. I wear my glasses.
Yeah.
I don't know if he like knows me or remembers me, but we always say hi to each other.
Yeah, you do. You have to be best buds.
I feel like the two of you should be skateboarding through town.
We skateboard all over town together.
Yeah. That first, holding hands.
The first home game when we have our mega tailgate, we call it Crewmas. Yeah. And everyone shows up to do that. Frankie actually jumped on my buddy's RV and did the whole, we're still here.
Yeah, amazing.
It was beautiful.
This is great. It feels like a little bit like a political ad for Columbus,
right?
When Travis is on the show.
I just made a couple people move to Columbus.
Yeah.
All right. So before we wrap the show, we're gonna unveil a mystery box.
So you've heard of Bug Eaters, right? The team that put our logo on their
Bug Eaters.
They play in Nebraska.
Love your
Thank you very much.
Okay, so this is
look at that. This is Christian's, and we can tell because it's got
my
picture from our
Barack
logo.
Obama on it.
Barack Obama.
Okay.
And Dom DeLuise. Don't laugh that hard.
I just haven't heard a good Dom DeLuise reference in a long time.
In a minute, right?
I miss that guy.
Buddy, I bring them out.
Yeah.
So
you have a letter there, handwritten.
This is from FCE. This is from...
Oh, that was from... That's a different one. Okay,
yeah.
So that's... All right. So this is from Bug Eaters. So
by the way, you don't know this. I don't know if you listen to the show. I love nothing more than opening gifts.
Oh, great.
It's the best.
Very much.
That's fantastic. Look at that. Oh, my God. You guys have a scarf?
Oh, look at this. Okay. More than one scarf, actually.
All right. So it's from Bug Eaters. Shout out to Bug Eaters, our partner club, our sister club.
That's right. That's our development academy.
Exactly.
thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what do you have, Alexis?
I have the one. It's a scarf. It's a black scarf that says Bug Eaters. FC, really nicely designed.
And the red tractor,
the red and white stripes on the other side.
Okay.
I have two of these. Maybe I might have taken one of yours.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, here you go. All right, so I have it's the same scarf. Okay, cool.
Same scarf.
So,
and you know what? I would gift mine to Travis Irvine.
Yeah, give it to Travis.
Yes, I know. That's
awesome. Rep the Bug Eaters. All right.
Yeah. I will wear this. I will rep and wear.
Farm to pitch. That's their whole thing.
That's me, from bugs to mouths.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the other. They didn't go with that marketing.
Okay. I almost fell off my chair.
Okay.
Okay.
So excited.
This is with the number. So this is the Bug Eaters kit with our logo on the sleeve. Amazing. Thank you.
They added our logo to the sleeve. You see that there, Travis?
Beautiful.
Not bad. And then I've got the Bug Eaters FC black t-shirt. Very nice. Very classy. Right? Just the logo on it.
Amazing. Oh, we got a beanie.
I got a beanie. I'm not putting it on my hair because I have product. But I also have this t-shirt here. It's just the state of Nebraska with Bug Eaters FC on it. They rep hard for Nebraska.
That's a dope shirt.
That is a dope shirt.
And then over here.
A lot of double XLs happening over here.
I got the tractor over here. The Bug Eaters track with the soccer ball inside the tractor. This is amazing. So yeah, Bug Eaters.
They have these mystery kits that go out. So you could get one of these things.
What's a mystery box? Not a mystery kit.
Sorry, it's a mystery box.
So you don't know what you're going to get inside.
You can get one of Travis's scarves, right? You can get one of these dope t-shirts. You can get a jersey. I didn't get a jersey. I got to have a little talk with the owner.
Anything could happen.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Look at that.
That is beautiful.
Amazing. All right. So thank you, Bug Eaters.
This is beautiful. Look at this beanie. It's a high quality beanie.
It's amazing stuff. So go to bugeatersfc.com and get a mystery box so you can, who knows what you're going to get.
Oh, this is stitched on. This is not just like some bad.
No, quality. The quality is dope. Quality is dope.
This is fire. I mean, Jonathan Kalura only does great things.
Exactly.
That's the owner. Great dude. Check out Backswing Brewing Company when you're out there. He's also going to have his own beer, line of beer that he's coming out for the team and everything. It's going to be dope. Guys, if you're in Nebraska, check out Bug Eaters FC. Come on, you tractors. I don't know what you're saying.
What a great, if that's not the, the jam.
It feels fun to say.
Come on, you tractors.
Come on, you tractors.
All right, guys. So thank you again for listening to the show. We always appreciate it. Make sure, Travis, how do people follow you and keep up and vote for you in the next election, possibly?
Well, I'm never running for office ever again. I'm going to wear this beard on my face forever.
You've already saved the crew. You are done.
Right? I think.
You did your job.
You don't need to run anymore.
I saved my neighbor's home. When I ran for mayor, I saved the crew. When I ran for governor, I'm done.
Yeah.
You win by losing. Is that
you win
sense?
By losing?
I don't understand.
Yeah, addition by subtraction.
Yes, thank you. But yeah, I'm Travis Irvine USA on Twitter, and of course American Mayors on Amazon Prime, and my comedy album Guy from Ohio is available on Spotify, iTunes, and Amazon, and there are Columbus Crew jokes on there. Actually,
all right, okay, so make sure you listen to that. Especially we have people who listen on Spotify, so just go search for Travis Irvine. Guy from Ohio. And check that out. So, Travis, we usually wrap this show by yelling the Cooligans into the screen.
You'll know exactly when.
You'll know exactly what to do. So, for Travis Irvine, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!